This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. Continuing the Shirim on Sefer Bereishis. This year's Shirim, Tavshin Pevav, are dedicated by the Israeli family. Liloy Nishmas Malka Bas Yosef, Began Eden Temenuchasa. She should be Melitza Yishar for her whole family. Shirim on Sefer Bereishis are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta, Liloy Nishmas, Shlomo Eliezer and Rabbi Yaakov Zakim. Rivka Bas Tavi Halevi, Rabbi Dov and Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Tonight's Shir is dedicated by Rabbi Ari and Michelle Jacobson, Liloy Nishmas, Rabbi Ari's aunt, Miss Merrill Sewek, Masha Rachel Bas Aron, Zchon Rachel's 7th yard site is this coming Monday, Chai Kislev. Shir Hanasham should have an aliyah. Tonight's Shir is dedicated Rabbi Avi Tachman, Liloy Nishmas, Hesher Simcha ben Rabbi Yitzchak Kalman Spalter, whose yard site is Friday. And Hakar Satoiv, to Rabbanu Shalom as a Zuchus for a new granddaughter, Tiska, Legadla, Latoira, Ulevantar, Lechupa, Lamasim Toiv, Mazel Tov. Today's shir is dedicated by Torah Sweets newsletter. If you're looking for weekly inspiration, stories, practical halacha, or short quotes on the parsha that you could share on the Shabbos table, Torah Sweets is a weekly magazine that is a perfect companion for anyone looking to grow. I happen to know the author personally. He's a friend of mine, Remendel Berlin. If you want to sign up, you could go to torahsweets@gmail.com. torahsweets@gmail.com. Okay. Tonight's shir is Mamish Matan Min Hashemayim. It's a good thing you came. Seriously. They're like an asteroid. You know, it's not every week. It's a comet. It's like a comet, you know? I'm telling you. After World War I, everyone thought that Germany was finished with, and now peace will reign the world. They thought Germany was in check, and the Chafetz Chaim, it was clear from the way his demeanor, from his disposition, that he foresaw that there was going to be another calamity. He said that all the so-called peace deals in the aftermath of World War I were just a hakdama to a much greater war, which will exceed in cruelty whatever we saw in World War I. The Chafetz Chaim would say that what he foresaw would make World War I look like child's play. This is recorded in the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim, HaChafetz Chaim Chayav Upa'alai. In Nisan, in 1930, the Chafetz Chaim gave a sicha to his Talmidim. He was talking about the Chevle Mashiach, and the Chafetz Chaim sighed deeply. Chafetz Chaim said, a storm is coming, an awesome destruction. The Lashon of the Chafetz Chaim was, HaMelchama HaElamish Shazel LeKvar Avra Aleinu TeChashev KeMesachek. World War One will be like a joke. LeUmazu Shatavai, relative to what's yet to come. The Chafetz Chaim says, you don't know. How would you know? There's no way to tell. It's not like you could see it. You could see it. No, you can't see it. But the Chafetz Chaim says, I see it. I see it. When will it be? In about 10 years. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said in the aftermath of World War I. And then the Chafetz Chaim says, this will be in order to fulfill what the Navi says. You could take a look on your sheet. The Navi in Amos, in number 9, it's the 9th Maramakim, it's Amos Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes. Okay, how do you like that? Tes, Tes, Tes. Where the Navi says, I am going to command. I will shake up among all the nations, Klal Yisrael. As it's shaken up in a sieve. And when the Chafetz Chaim said the word bakvara, he shook. When he said the word in a sieve, he shook. Because the Chafetz Chaim said that when something is shaken in a sieve, not only the pebbles or the grain that falls out is shaken up, but even what remains behind is also tossed and shaken. The Chafetz Chaim clearly felt, saw, envisioned a calamity, a terrible destruction in a short while. This is 1930. It's now 1931. And it was the first day of Sukkot, 1931. And Rabbi Chanan said, this is Tafresh Tzadi Beis. So, still 1931, Tafresh Tzadi Beis. It was after Shemoneh Esrei. All of a sudden, after the Shemoneh Esrei, the Chafetz Chaim gives a clap on the Bima. Nobody knew. Well, he's giving a clap on the Bima. You know, Yal V'Yava, we know it's Sukkot. Everybody knows to say Yal V'Yava. You don't clap on the Bima. And the Chafetz, you don't clap after Shemoneh Esrei, you know? And the Chafetz Chaim said in a very worried voice, he said, I'm not exaggerating here. I don't say guzmois. The time is coming. We're all going to be in sakana. When I say sakana, I don't mean financial danger. What I mean is our lives are in peril. Our wives and our children. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said in the first day of Sukkot, Tafresh Tzadi Beis. Now, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was the Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich. But even as Rosh Yeshiva, he would go to Radin to be with the Chafetz Chaim for Elul and the Yom Naram. And usually when Rabbi Chanan would come back from being in Radin, he would come back with great joy, with great simcha, having the experience to be Yom Naram with the Chafetz Chaim. And one particular year, Rabbi Chanan came back to Baranovich after a number of weeks in the vicinity of the Chafetz Chaim. And in contradistinction to the way he usually came back in his joyous move, the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was shaken to the core. He came back and he told his Talmidim, I want you to know that the Chafetz Chaim could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. What I heard from my Rebbe is awe, is blood curling, is shocking, is astonishing. If I'd be allowed to tell you, you would see that the Chafetz Chaim from his little home in Radin could literally see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Now, it's 1932. Did he mean, it's before the elections.
Did he mean for the Jews or for the world?
And who are the two candidates? The two candidates were Paul von Hindenburg and Adolf Hitler. That was the election. You know, what could a local election mean already? You know, what difference does it make, a local election? And it was between Paul von Hindenburg and Hitler. And the Chafetz Chaim was sitting there, and this is written by the Chafetz Chaim's son, Aryeh Leib Pupko. And Aryeh Leib tells his son, his friend Nasan Brezher, do me a favor, go into the Abba, go to my father, and ask him to daven for the Jews of Germany that nothing bad should happen through the elections. So this Nasan tells Chafetz Chaim, you know, there's elections between Paul von Hindenburg and Adolf Hitler. And the Chafetz Chaim says that, listen, whatever Hitler wants to do should fall back on his head. And then shortly after, the Chafetz Chaim began to cry. And it was heard, he was saying, so to speak, under his breath, Ribbono Shel'olam, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Just don't desecrate your name. Now, there was a story the Chafetz Chaim would travel to outlying areas. Now, I like to tell over the story, even though people today find it controversial. That's why I like to tell it over. So, the Chafetz Chaim, it was once on Tzoyim Gedalia, and the Chafetz Chaim said it's come to his attention that in one of the shtetlach in the outlying areas, the mikvah is a little bit questionable. So maybe one of the bachrim wants to spend Yom Kippur in the shtetl. You'll daven Yom Kippur with them. You'll ingratiate yourself to the kehila. And then you'll be able to explain to them, you know, you need to fix the mikvah. You need to bring the mikvah up to par. Fine, that was the message, Tzoyim Gedalia after davening. So a bacher comes over to the Chafetz Chaim and he starts handling, you know, that's the new word, when you want to talk to someone in learning, you handle with them in learning. I don't know, you know, what is like some of you are like dealing with like stolen goods, but that's the expression. You're handling with them in learning. And he's talking to the Chafetz Chaim about Tosfos, and after 10 minutes the Chafetz Chaim said, but did you hear what I said about the shtetl? I know you want to talk and learning, but do you want to help this community? And the boy said, well, you know, Rebbe, I'm going to daven Yom Kippur with them. You know, they don't daven like they daven in yeshiva. It's not the atmosphere I want to be in. And the Chafetz Chaim turned around and he went, to your Tosfos. And in other words, the Chafetz Chaim was not happy that the person was interested in their own learning, not to give up of their ruchnias to help Klal Yisrael. Anyway, I think that's something that needs to be emphasized. In any event, the Chafetz Chaim would often travel to outlying communities to be mechazik them in Torah, and he was staying by the house of Rav Yanofsky, and people came to the Gadol Hadar to get a bracha. People had srachim, people had saras. So someone came to the Chafetz Chaim, an old lady, it's a bracha and a woman. She was married for many years, she didn't have children. She came crying to the Chafetz Chaim for a child. Chafetz Chaim would not give her a bracha. He wouldn't give her a bracha. And the woman was crying, and the woman, but he didn't explain himself. And a few minutes later, the Chafetz Chaim said to the tzibur, you know, people come, they want to have children. Why do they want to have children in a couple of years? Do you know what's going to happen here on this continent? If you don't have children, you've been better off not having children than the worry you're going to have what to do with your children when this thing breaks out. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. So the Chafetz Chaim had clear awareness, not that something was brewing, that some terrible disaster and catastrophe was going to happen. Now, so my father called me this week. He said, did you see what the Chafetz Chaim says on Parshas Vayishlach? Now, I'll tell you the truth. I had seen this many times. But when I heard it again, as I was hearing it, I got a matana min hashamayim. Mamish, tonight share, okay? The Chafetz Chaim ala Torah continued. There's an entry for what happened in 1933. So now Adolf Hitler is in power. He's the Chancellor of Germany. Before he became the Chancellor of Germany, he made it clear what his intentions were. He didn't hide it. It's not like it wasn't a surprise. Nobody thought he would actually do it, but we knew he wanted to do it. He made it clear. He said it. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Poland asked the Chafetz Chaim, what's going to happen to German and Polish Jewry? If Hitler is able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, he's going to wipe out the Jewish people. And the Chafetz Chaim said, Chas v'shalom, no one was ever successful in wiping out the Jewish people. As we know. Okay. Enjoy your supper, but we don't need to know what it is. Okay. The Chafetz Chaim said that nobody has ever been successful in wiping out the Jewish people. Didn't Yaakov Avinu say in this week's parsha, "Vayoymer im yavoy Esav al machane achas viko"? If Esav comes and he wipes out one machane, "V'hayah hamachane nishar lefleta," the second machane will escape. Says the Chafetz Chaim, maybe in history, the nations of the world have been successful in eradicating communities or segments of Klal Yisrael. But to eradicate all of Klal Yisrael, it's a pasuk in Vayishlach. Im yavoy Esav el hamachane ha'achas v'hikahu v'haya hamachane hanishar lefleita. So then the Chafetz Chaim was asked, okay, what do you mean the machane hanishar lefleita? What's the machane hanishar? There are millions of Jews in Germany, in Hungary, in Poland. What's the machane hanishar? To which the Chafetz Chaim said, the machane hanishar, you look in the Navi Ovadia, uvahar tzion tia fleita. And Mount Zion in Yerushalayim, there'll be a remnant, v'haya kodesh, and will remain holy. The Jews of Eretz Yisrael will survive. Okay, the Chafetz Chaim said this 10 years before the Holocaust. Now, just to point out the impossibility of that happening, because there were 6 million Jews in Europe, in Poland, in Hungary, in Germany. The chances of Poland falling and Hungary falling and a pillar killing all the Jews of Germany and also Russia, that was an impossibility. And he blitzkrieged through the whole continent. And yet somehow, you know that Hitler was on the brink of the banks of Palestine. He was about to come into Eretz Yisrael. Rommel was there. The Egyptians welcomed him in open arms. They already bombed Tel Aviv. There were bombs. The Germans bombed Tel Aviv. Not only that, the Arabs were playing on the radio. Jews, the Nazis are coming. We're going to bathe in your blood. We're going to violate your wives. We're going to murder your children. They were selling Mein Kampf in the street. The Arabs were waving the Nazi flag out of the windows. Hitler already devised a plot where he was going to take vans, take the exhaust pipe and stick it back into the van and gas the yeshuv in. You know how much time? 11 days. That's all it would take. It took him 5 years to destroy the Jews of Europe. The plan was, at the most, in 11 days, Palestine would fall. Every last Jew would be gassed. You know, people don't know about this. This is open history. And there was a miracle that happened at El Alamein. I have the book over here, Miracle at El Alamein. You got to get the book, Rabbi Zev T. Peretzky. It's such a good book. He also is the biographer of the Chida. That's how important. There was a miracle at El Alamein. Many different things happened. One of the things that happened were that the ammunition of the Germans overheated. One of the miracles were they were in the desert. They needed to drink. They tapped into the British water pipeline. Just then, the Brits were pumping through salt water and they became sick from the salt water and they had to go. Rommel had to retreat. Many miracles happened at El Alamein. But the Chafetz Chaim envisioned this, prophesied this, said it 10 years before. So in other words, when Chafetz Chaim was asked, will Hitler be successful in eradicating all the Jews of the world? He replied with the pasuk in this week's parsha. Vayoymer, im yavoy esav el hamachaneh ha'achas v'hikohu. V'haya hamachaneh. And when he was asked, okay, where will that machaneh be that survives? The Chafetz Chaim responded with the pasuk in Ovadia. The remnant will be in Yerushalayim. Now, Matana number one is like this. Just the pasuk, you only have half the information. You know there'll be a remnant, you just don't know where it will be. So you need the second pasuk to understand that the remnant will be in Yerushalayim. It happens to be this week's Haftorah for Vayishlach is the Navi Ovadia, which gives you an amazing insight into how appropriate the Haftorah of Ovadia is to this week's Parsha. It's Mashlim the Parsha. The Haftorah, it gives you the little missing information that Parsha doesn't give you. You see the Hashgacha, that the Haftorah gives you the little bit of a missing information. Okay, that's one amazing idea. This Rav, who heard the Chafetz Chaim say this, walked out, shaken to the core about the prediction of destruction of European Jewry, and confident that the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael would survive. Okay. But let's investigate further the Chafetz Chaim's level of awareness of the impending Holocaust, and you'll see what I'm getting at, because I didn't even begin to put this back into the Parsha. Okay? Because all of this, you probably know already. You probably know the basic idea from the Chafetz Chaim, but we're just painting the picture so that we have an understanding of Parshas Vayishlach, I think in a very amazing way. There's a six-volume set on the Chafetz Chaim called Meir Einei Yisrael. He brings over there that Rav Shalom, this is number 10 on the sheets, Rav Shalom Shvadron would say over a story, there was a Bachar, Moshe Idelberg, who was a Lithuanian student who was learning, he would go to learn in Hebron. He left Poland, and you know, the borders were somewhat blurred then. He went to learn in Hebron. He comes back to visit his parents. Ben Azmanim is over. It's time to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Dad says, you can't go, you're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's dangerous there. They heard about the Hebron massacre. You need to stay here in Europe. So the boy didn't know what to do. He wanted to go back to the yeshiva. He didn't want to disappoint his father. So they agreed to go to the Chafetz Chaim. They presented the question to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim says, what's the question? Of course you have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Whoever could save themselves needs to save themselves. So the father and the son neither have any idea what he's talking about. What do you mean save ourselves from what? You know, this was in the early 30s? What are we saving ourselves from? There was just a massacre in Hebron. What do you mean, save yourselves? So they didn't understand what the Chafetz Chaim was getting at. There was a rabbinic conference at that time, so the father and son decided to attend the rabbinic conference. The Chafetz Chaim was the main speaker. At the rabbinic conference, the Chafetz Chaim revealed, so to speak, this inside information that he knows, he sees, he feels the impending destruction of European Jewry. And among the attendees at this conference was Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, and Reb Baruch Ber broke out in terrible crying. They understood what the Chafetz Chaim meant. So Reb Elchanan asked the Chafetz Chaim, and what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? And the Chafetz Chaim said, Uvahar Tzion Tia Pleita. They'll survive in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer visited the Chafetz Chaim before the Chafetz Chaim passed away. Chafetz Chaim says there's a great fire that's going to break out in the world. It's going to make World War I look like child's play. So Rav Isser Zalman was afraid. So what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? And the Chafetz Chaim responded, Uvahar Tzion Tia Pleita. The Chafetz Chaim's grandson told the Panovich Rav that in the last weeks or days of the Chafetz Chaim's life, when he was in his 90s and he was on his deathbed, and the Chafetz Chaim was sleeping most of the time, and one time he woke up and the Rosh Hashiva of Radin was sitting next to him, Rav Moshe Londinsky, and Chafetz Chaim says to the Rosh Hashiva, no, Machadash, what's the latest? And Rav Moshe Londinsky says, well, you know, everyone's frightened about Hitler and what his plans are. And the Chafetz Chaim, like in his last words, were, Uvahar Tzion Tia Pleita. And that's why the Panovich Rav, if you go to Yeshiva's Panovich today, on the wall in the Yeshiva, Panovich Rav was a Talmud Muvak of the Chafetz Chaim, it says, Uvahar Tzion Tia Pleita V'haya Kodesh. And one of the greatest miracles in world history is the German fallout El Alamein. And it happens to be in this book, it gives you a very detailed account of how that miracle took place through the tremendous, it's called Miracle at El Alamein. It's a wonderful book. It has Mar Mekoymos, it's in English, but everything is annotated, everything is, all the sources are given. Basically, Klal Yisrael got together in Tefillah in an unparalleled way, like never before. Even the secular kibbutzim of members of Mapai, they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like never before. And they literally tore down the heavens. The Hasidim, the Prushim, all segments of Jews who are living in the Yishuv got together to daven, and their tefillos were neskavel. It's one of the great miracles of history. As this was going to print, I added one more story, but you know what? I'm going to save it till the end of the share. Maybe it's a good closer. Okay, this is the history of the Chafetz Chaim's prophetic understanding and foreknowledge of the events of the Holocaust and the salvation of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, what does it have to do with this week's parsha? Let's examine some of the tefillos of Yaakov Avinu. If you look at number 11, Yaakov Avinu, as Esav is approaching, he says, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me, please, from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. Ki yarei anoichi oisai. I'm very afraid of him. Pen yavoi vihikani em albanim. So the Baal HaTurim points out that the words Hatzileni na miyad is Rashi Tevois Haman. That Yaakov Avinu is not just saying, Hashem, save me from Esav. He's saying, save me from Haman. And in the past, we've spoken about that in length. We actually, if you look in the Sefer on Purim, there's a whole chapter on this Baal HaTurim. But we're bringing out a new point tonight. Okay, so it's interesting. Here, Yaakov Avinu, it's the year, you know, a little bit after the year 2000, the world history. And in his mind, he's davening, Ribbono Shel Olam, in 1,000 years from now, after Klal Yisrael goes down to Mitzrayim for 410 years, and they're in the Midbar 40 years, and they're 440 years in Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash stands for 410, they're going to go to Paras, and at the end of the 70 years, Hatzileini na miyad Haman. Well, Yaakov's really looking out in the future. You know, that's here it is. It's the year 2100, and he's davening for 1,000 years later. Interesting. Now, here's where part of the share came from. So I'm learning the parsha with Rashi. Vayitein biyad avodav eider eider levadoi vayoymer levadov ivru lefanai v'revach tosimu v'revach? I can't believe it. How did I miss that word? I love finding connections between the Megillah and Yaakov Avinu. How did I miss the word v'revach all these years? And the Baal HaTurim says, one other time it says v'revach. You know, I'll tell you why I missed it, because it should say revach, not v'revach. That's my excuse. You know, it's not exactly the same. The Baal HaTurim says, v'chad revach v'hatzalah yamoy la'yudim. Now the Baal HaTurim says, it's a remez that in the future, if you want to overcome your enemy, you need to give shaychad. But I couldn't help but think, here, Yaakov Avinu, he's trying to be saved from who? Esav? And he's invoking the name Revach? The word Revach? Why is he so fixated on Purim? So obviously Yaakov Avinu, even though he's dealing primarily with the Esav in front of him, but he is also davening for the descendant of Esav, and the arch-villain who comes from Esav, who's that? Haman. You know, that's clear. Hatzileini na miyad, the Baal HaTurim says is Haman. Revach tosimu, the Baal HaTurim draws a comparison between that and the salvation of Purim. And here's the clincher. Look at the Medrash. The Medrash says, Ba'oysa shah, at that moment, Nasa Yaakov Esenav, Yaakov lifted up his eyes. Ve'ra'es Esav, and he sees Esav, Shehuba me'rachayik, he sees Esav coming, far away, from far away. Rabbi Avadya Yosef, in his Sefer of Halacha on Purim, he asks on this Medrash, why does the Medrash say that Esav was coming from far away? Why it should say, he saw him when he got close. Why does he say, Yaakov saw him when he was coming from far away? The answer is, what the Medrash is getting at is, he is worried about the Esav far off into the future. Says Rav Avadya, this answers the obvious question. You know, Yaakov Avinu came to the well. There's like this 50,000-pound stone on the well. And Yaakov Avinu flicks it off, Chazal say, like a bottle cap. So then, right, remember when Yaakov Avinu meets Rachel? You have like these 30 burly shepherds. They're sitting there like, you know, lazy good-for-nothings. They can't move the rock. And Yaakov comes and he single-handedly flicks it off like a bottle cap. Okay, so why didn't he just go like that to Esav? What's he afraid of Esav? Says Rav Avadya, he's not afraid of Esav. Yaakov Avinu could destroy Esav. He already beat Esav's angel. He could kill Esav. He's worried about Esav me'rachayik, Esav off in the future. Who's the Esav of the future? Haman! Says Rav Avadya, look in number 17. That's why the Medrash says, Hatzileini na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Yaakov Avinu says, Hatzel es banai la'asid lavai, miyad b'nei banav. Save not my children here, save my descendants off in the future from the grandchildren of Esav. He's talking about the Jews in Shushan in the times of Purim. That's the Esav me'rachayik. So, I can't help but think. You know, if the Chafetz Chaim had Nevuah, and he saw the Holocaust, as great as the Chafetz Chaim was, I'm going to tell you someone who was greater than the Chafetz Chaim, and had more Nevuah than the Chafetz Chaim, Yaakov Avinu. So if the Chafetz Chaim knew that Hitler was coming, then Yaakov Avinu knew Hitler was coming. I mean, he knew Haman was coming. He saw 1,000 years into the future. I would humbly suggest that when the Medrash says that Yaakov saw Esav Shubah Me'rachayik, he wasn't just referring to the Esav Shabbat Meirachayk in the times of Purim. He was also afraid and scared of the Esav that came many generations later in 1939, in 1933. He's also Mibnei Esav HaRasha. He's also from the Germans, Yimach Shemam. He's also from Amalek. I guarantee you, if the Chafetz Chaim knew what was going to happen in 1939, then of course Yaakov Avinu knew. Here's the gift. You think that when the Chafetz Chaim said that Hitler can't destroy the Jewish people, Yaakov Avinu already said, Im yavo Esav l'machna achas v'kova yamachna shofleta, Hitler can never destroy the Jewish people. After all, Yaakov said, Im yavo Esav l'machna achas v'yamachna shofleta. If the Chafetz Chaim knew what Yaakov meant, you know who else knew what Yaakov meant? Yaakov. So it's not just, you know, the common way to say over the story is, the Chafetz Chaim said, you know, we see from the Torah that if the nations of the world attack one segment, the other segment will survive. And the Chafetz Chaim applied that to what was going to happen in 1939. Well, if the Chafetz Chaim applied that, that means that's what Yaakov meant. That means that's what Yaakov was davening for. That means when Yaakov said, Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav, yeah, the Baal HaTurim says that's Haman. But the Chafetz Chaim says that was Hitler also. Especially according to those who say that there was a commonality between Haman and Hitler, Ayin Sham, whether there's any soul transmigration between those two individuals, that's beyond the scope of this year. But I'm just pointing out one simple idea for your consideration, and that is if the Chafetz Chaim had Nevuah of the impending Holocaust, then Yaakov, who was a Navi, Yaakov was a Navi. The Chafetz Chaim did not live in the time of Nevuah. He was certainly a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have Nevuah. The era of Nevuah ended. But Yaakov was one of the Nevi'im. And if the words, Im Yavo Esav, V'ika Samachna Achas, V'ya Machna Hanishal Fleita, the Chafetz Chaim says, refers to the Jews surviving in the times of the Holocaust, then when Yaakov Avinu is returning to Eretz Yisrael in the year 2100, 2200. You know, it's interesting. If you think about it, every time the Jewish people have declared that they're coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Esav rears his head to destroy us. Did you know that? The first time the Jewish people returned to Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, in this week's parasha, says, okay, family, Lavan, it's been nice knowing you. We're going back to Eretz Yisrael. Ha! Esav says, no way. He comes with 400 men to eradicate the Jewish people. Then we come out of Mitzrayim. We say, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Amalek says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael? We're going to destroy you. And then in our century, after the Holocaust, Jews said, we're going in the, not after the Holocaust, in the 30s, mass immigration to Eretz Yisrael. Amalek said, no, we're going to destroy you. That's the pattern of history. Then when the Jews say, we're going back to Eretz Yisrael, Amalek says, well, that's the end of the day. Then Mashiach will come. We can't have that happen. And there's no question over here. I just want to frame. I would call it framing the obvious, but I don't think it was so obvious. That when you learn Parshas Vayishlach, this is not just Yaakov Avinu returning with 11 sons and one daughter, and he's being attacked by Esav HaRasha. When Yaakov's returning, by the way, the other time we declared we're going back to Eretz Yisrael is at the end of the 70 years. The Jews said, Ezra said, let's go, we're going back. Haman said, you're not going anywhere. Every single time in history, Yaakov Avinu, Mitzrayim, Haman, 20th century. That's a pattern of history. And you could be sure that if this is the paradigm of return, and when Yaakov Avinu is davening, Hatzileini na miyad Esav, if the Baal HaTurim says it's talking about Haman, that's because the Baal HaTurim came after Haman. But he came before Hitler. But we come after Hitler. So now we see there's another layer of meaning. I forgot to mention, this just came out. Berachas HaTzadik, brand new, hot off the press. The reason why I'm mentioning it now is because Ratzak Renana says, in every generation, you have to see what is the Torah revealing to you in our time that maybe wasn't accessible in other times. I think this is framing the obvious, but it gets better. Okay, so the way we're understanding, Yaakov Avinu is returning to Eretz Yisrael. He sees all. He sees, as the Medrash says, the Esav Meirachik, not just Haman. He sees Hitler. And he davens this pasuk that the Chafetz Chaim applied. Yaakov says, "Im yavoi Esav el hamachneh ha'achas v'hikahu v'yamachneh shel fleita." I mean, it's stirring. By the way, it's stirring this week's Haftarah. This week's Haftarah is really infusing the whole Kriya with tremendous meaning that the salvation will be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, everybody knows this got cut off a little bit. So, if you want a better sheet, you could get it on the email. The Ramban says in the opening of this week's Parsha that the lesson of Parshas Vayishlach is that Hashem saved Yaakov, his Eved. He redeemed him miyad chazak mimenu. And it also shows, listen carefully, that Yaakov Avinu, despite his great righteousness, Yaakov Avinu didn't say, I'm a tzaddik, so I'll just wait for Hashem to kick in and save me. No, Yaakov Avinu did every possible hishtadlus. You know what bitachon means? Bitachon means you have to do every possible hishtadlus and trust in Hashem. But what if you say, I trust in Hashem, so I'm going to do less hishtadlus? That's just uneducated. Bitacha, look at the words of the Ramban. By the way, the Ramban was an Orthodox rabbi, you know that? The Ramban says, Ulamdenu oid shehu loy batach bitzid kasoy v'hishtadel bahatzola b'chol yecholtoy. Yaakov Avinu exerted every effort of hishtadlus. And, says Ramban, it's a remez l'doyreis, that whenever we have to deal with Esav, we need to just follow the ways of Yaakov Avinu. So the Ramban says the purpose of this parsha is that whenever you're dealing with Esav, you learn Vayishlach and do what Yaakov Avinu did. So that's what happened during the Holocaust. We followed the paradigm of Yaakov Avinu. At least the Jews in Eretz Yisrael survived. The Ramban later in the parsha says that whenever the Amoraim had any dealing with the Romans, they would learn Parshas Vayishlach to remind them that never request outside assistance from the nations of the world. It always brings disaster. You know, that it's like today, you know, whenever they need to do something in Eretz Yisrael, they always have to worry, but, you know, who's giving us money, and, you know, who are we dependent on? And, well, that's a big problem, because they can never do what's in their best interest. Because you always have to be independent to make the right decision for yourself. The Ramban says, one time they forgot to read Vayishlach, they asked for Roman assistance, and it was a disaster. Okay, now listen to this. The way we're setting it up, that Yaakov Avinu is facing Esav, he's not really so worried about the Esav standing in front of him. He's worried more about the Esav off in the distant future. Haman, as the Baal HaTorim says, and we're saying what the Chafetz Chaim would say is, he's worried about Hitler. He's davening Hashem, save the Jews in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Holocaust. How do we know that that's what Yaakov was referring to? Maybe he was just talking about Haman. You ready for this? Says Vilna Gaon, you know, when Esav is coming to meet Yaakov Avinu, first Yaakov put the Shvachais, you know, Bilhah and Zilpah and their children, and then he put Leah and their children, and then Rachel and Yosef. Says the Vilna Gaon, we know that Yaakov Avinu's encounter with Esav is the Maaseh Avos Siman Labanim to a specific era in Jewish history. You know what that era is? Ikvas HaMashiach. The Gra says, Parshas Vayishlach is a portend to Ikvas HaMashiach. Ikvas HaMashiach means the period of time right before the coming of Mashiach. And in the time before the coming of Mashiach, first, the Erev Rav will be the representatives of the Jewish people. And that's Bilhah and Zilpah. They represent the Erev Rav. You know, who will be the Jewish leaders? Not necessarily the most loyal or observant Jews. The Erev Rav. Followed by Leah Viladea, followed by regular Jews, and the Talmidei Chachamim, they're, you know, limping in the back. You know, nobody's paying attention to what their opinion is. The Gra learns Parshas Vayishlach portends Ikvisa de Meshicha. So here it's black and white. This week's parsha primarily is telling you what's going to happen in our times before Mashiach comes. So then, if that's the case, if the Gra is revealing to us that Parshas Vayishlach is the Maaseh B'Sinvan Le'ikvas of the Mashiach, then when Yaakov says Hatzileini Na Miyad Achi Miyad Esav, who's he talking about? Haman? Yeah, also. But Haman wasn't Be'ikvas of the Mashiach. So who's the Esav that Yaakov's davening for? Chafetz Chaim said, Im Yavoi Esav El Hamachane Ha'achas V'hikahu V'haya Hamachane Hanishar Lefleita. Yaakov is davening for the salvation of the Jewish people between 1939 and 1945 that Hitler was not successful in entering the land of Israel. That's Parshas Vayishlach. It's not a remez. That's the Parsha. How could it be that we never knew this? I don't know why Hashem in 2025 brought this back, brought this to us. That's all I could say. That's Parshas Vayishlach. It's for our time. It's amazing. We open up this scroll. It was written 3,300 years ago. And we didn't know what it meant until now. Probably everybody else knew this already. I don't know. Maybe I'm the last one to... I must be the last one to get the memo. But the memo is clear. The memo is that this scroll that we keep in the Arayin, that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai 3,300 years ago, now we know exactly what it means. It's Ayin V'Noira. Now, I'm going to end off with some food for thought. Because people always want to know, you know, where should I be? What should I go? You know, where is it safer? Where is it safer? Is it safer in Brooklyn? Is it safer in New York? Is it safer in Florida? Is it safer South Florida? Is it safer in Eretz Yisrael? So there's a postscript to the Chafetz Chaim who he would always say, no, Hitler will not destroy European Jewry. And then the Chafetz Chaim would add from the Haftorah of Har Tzion Tia Pleita. So there's one more story set over by Rabbi Avram Yosef Wolf. That he heard from one of the Talmidim of Radin that the Chafetz Chaim added one little detail. Chafetz Chaim would say the 12 million people that were killed in World War I will be child's play compared to World War II. In another 10 years, it will be much worse. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim, so what's the Eitzah? The Chafetz Chaim would say, Eretz Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim explained. There were two villages. They both shared a fire station with the fire truck. The fire station was in one city, but they both cities used the fire station. A fire broke out in the other city. So they said, okay, let's take the fire truck and drive to the city where the fire is. And then they said, no, that doesn't make sense, because now there's a fire in this city. So which city will have the fire put out first? The city that has the fire station in it. That's the mashal. What the nimshal is... The Chafetz Chaim said that when the war broke out in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael, first Hashem will save his house before he saves anywhere else. In other words, Eretz Yisrael will always be safest. But obviously, you know, Galus America will end different than any Galus in history. You know, in other Galusim, you're lucky if you escape with your shirt on your back. But I'm sure when America ends, they're going to knock on our door. They're going to say, Zisa Yidalach, we love you so much. Here, we're going to pay you double for your houses. And only after we pay you top dollar for your houses and your cars, then you could leave, right? I'm sure, you know, why should this gullus end any different? I'm sure it will end different than all the other 20 gullus that we've been in. I'm sure they're going to pay us double for our houses here in New York. So, you know, there's nothing to worry about, I'm sure, you know, because they just love us so much. But this is what the Chafetz Chaim said about the events of 1939, 1945. And if you don't just listen to the stories, but you try to then apply it to how to read the parsha, it comes out that the parsha is mamish, reverberates until this very day. Thank you very much. Have a great night. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.